What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Coming up at 2 p.m., right at the top of the hour, Jared will sit down with Will Levis from Radio Row in Las Vegas. I know that it's going to be a great conversation, so looking forward to that. Make sure you tune in right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, right at 2 p.m. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you as always. We were chatting with your pal, Dmitry Filipovich, yesterday. We were kind of throwing some, you know, future of the goaltending position in Nashville questions around. I asked him, what do you think is the going rate for an elite goaltender? Whenever the Predators have this conversation, inevitably with UC Saros at the end of this season, what would a fair figure be? And Dmitry said $5 million. I was kind of surprised by that. That felt a little bit low to me.
Yeah, and his overall thought, too, was it's hard to get equal value back.
Uh-huh.
Because it's something we talked about with you, Elliot, a few weeks ago, is that there's a lot of good goalies. There's not a lot of great goalies, but a lot of people are like, well, I'll find the good goalie. I'm not going to give you so much for the great goalie because we can win otherwise.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you this. I think there's some people who really do believe that, and I think there's some people who just say that. You know, look, I think it depends on what you've got in front of them. You take a look at the thing is, though, one of the issues that I think it really has happened is that how many A-level goalies are really left? Like, there used to be like 25 of them, right? Now, how many are there? How many? There's like 8. I don't want to blow the whole segment, so I'll just answer it for you. There's like 8.
Okay.
And so if you don't have one, and by the way, I think Saros is one of those 8. Like, he's in my list. So there's 32 teams in the league. Let's just say I'm right, and there's only 8 A-level guys. What are you supposed to do if you're one of the other 24 teams? Just like give up or say, we don't have an A goalie? No, like that becomes your attitude. How do we win without that? You look at Vegas, who won the Stanley Cup last year. They've got a young guy who's really taking off. He could be an A goalie, Aiden Hill, but he's really taking off. But what did they do? They built an incredible team in front of them. Like, you take a look at the size of all their defensemen last year, getting from the other end to Aiden Hill was like going through a corn maze. It was really hard. And that's what Colorado did, too. And that's what Tampa, who does have one of those A goalies, did, too. They built a defense of guys between, like, 6'1" and 6'5", or whatever it was, who could all skate, like that Tampa-Colorado Stanley Cup final, which was 2 years ago, one of the guys who was in it told me, in that series, if you go back, the smallest defenseman who played listed on either team was Cale Makar, who I think was listed at 6'1", like 187 or something like that. And that was the smallest guy there, and everybody could move. So you couldn't go anywhere in the defensive zone without a body being in front of you or an arm or a leg or a stick. So you build that in front of your net. Now, I'll tell you this. Like I remember, like, there's one team that I know that they have one of the top goalies, and teams call them, and he says, well, you got to be serious. And the other teams say, yeah, we're not really sure that, you know, it makes sense to pay big for a goalie. And he just rolls his eyes and he said, well, if you really believe that, you wouldn't be calling me. So I think that I do believe there are teams who legitimately believe that. Like, if you know, that maybe you shouldn't pay for a goalie, like you shouldn't pay big for a closer in baseball. But I think there's a lot of other teams who are like, well, if we don't have one of those guys, we have to think like that so we can help us win. And so, like, if someone's calling Barry Trotz and saying, yeah, I'm not sure that we need an A-level goalie to win, Barry Trotz's answer, I bet, is, yeah, sure you don't. You'd love to have what we got, and you're just trying to sneak him out for me. That's how I would react.
But in that same breath, Elliot, looking at the last, you know, 5 or so years of Stanley Cup winners, it hasn't always been, more often than not, the elite goaltender who's ultimately hoisting the cup at the end of the season.
Well, the one guy I would obviously argue with, Carolyn, is Vasilevsky.
Yeah,
and
yes.
He won 2 of them, and he got to within 2 wins of a 3rd one when they lost with Colorado. But, you know, like I said, like, Aiden Hill, although he's rising, like, you know, he was in Vegas last year. He was the number one guy. He's rising. I think he's really, I'm not sure he's going to be like an A-plus goalie, but he's becoming an above-average, very good goalie. But you're right, and Vegas built a big, strong, mobile defense in front of them. Colorado won the Stanley Cup with Darcy Kemper, who I think is a B goalie. Saros, I would put ahead of him. But they built a great defense and great team in front of them. But you know what? Like, I think that's part of the thing now. But, like, you guys see Winnipeg a lot. How much better off do you think Winnipeg is that they convince Connor Hellebuyck to stay? You know, they're very happy. They can, and, you know, with you guys, like, look, like, Lankinen has given you some good starts this year, and Askarov shows a lot of promise. But let me ask you guys something. You guys are all Predators fans. If you knew UC Saros was gone and your combination was Askarov and Lankinen, you would be hopeful, but you would be very, very nervous.
Totally.
Yeah, you got a year to get it right if that's the case. You know how I feel about UC Saros. Yeah. I'm going to give you about 8 games to make
Derek sure. Derek does not have very much
tolerance. He is going to stay strong. He's staying strong. About it. Even though Askarov keeps reeling off win after win after win in Milwaukee, for sure.
But it's like I got to have the proven commodity, and UC seems
to No, Derek, like I'm the same way. Like, like the thing is, like we talked about this before, and I think this is what the Predators – I think the Predators are a really smart organization. And I think what they're weighing is, okay, we know Saros is our backbone. We know how good he is. But this next contract is probably going to be a big one. It's going to take him later into his 30s. Now, goalies, I think, and athletes in general have a longer shelf life. They're much better at taking care of their bodies. So I don't worry about age as much. But, you know, I think you have to think about it. So I think... Like I said, this is not only about Saros as a player. This is also about Saros' next contract. Now, the one thing I do think is I think you guys are looking for offense. I think you guys are out there trying to find, like, a really good, youngish offensive player. And that's why Byfield's name came up with Saros, and I wouldn't expect that to happen. But I'll tell you one guy I kind of thought about. I was thinking about writing it today, but I didn't. And this is purely in my head, and that is Natchez from Carolina. Like, that's a guy, you know, he's doing another contract at the end of the year. You know, I don't know what his future is going to be there. But to me, that's the kind of player that I think you guys would – that's the kind of player that would appeal to you guys. Because that's one thing I think you guys are doing. I think you're trying to find, like, a good offensive player out there. And those guys are hard to find.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. I think this week, Elliot, you know, did a article, so to speak, on his 32 Thoughts. So check that out, please. It's a good read. Now, you were just talking about the scoring aspect. Especially for the Nashville Predators here. There was a stat that was that Willie, we talked about earlier, the hit stat, where the Predators are number one in regards to hitting their opponent. Now, how does that, because you just brought up the scoring, but how does that translate into scoring, or does it?
Well, I'll tell you this. There are some people who think that leading in hits is not good because it means you don't have the puck a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of truth to that. I do think that can be a factor. That is, sometimes if you have too many hits, it's one of those games where you're always chasing the puck. But I think over a long series or over a long year, to me, honestly, Derek, there are teams who keep this stat privately, and I wish this was more in the public domain. To me, the most important thing is when you have a hit or you have a puck battle, who gets the puck? Like, if you have the Predators are playing, say, the Stars, and Heiskanen's back for the puck, and in comes, say, Parsonen on a forecheck, and Parsonen hits him, to me, the biggest question is, who comes out with the puck? Does Heiskanen come out with the puck, or does Parsonen come out with the puck? And so when I look at hit stats, I don't always look at who's doing the hitting. I look at who's got the puck right after that, or where does the puck go right after that? So when the Predators are hitting people, are these just hits that don't do anything, or are they hits that force a turnover? Are they hits that force a battle? Are they hits that create things to you? Again, are you hitting so much because you never have the puck? That's a concern too. But Derek, to me, well, first of all, it shows to me you're a physical team, mm-hmm. and that's never bad. I'd like to know more. How much do you have the puck? And are those hits turning into something that is a positive for the Predators?
Elliot Friedman with us. Elliot, you just kind of echoed what I've gotten back from Andrew Brunette when I've asked about that, because he sort of inherited this group, and he said that was probably a bigger ingredient in John Hines' way of doing things. He's not as big on that, but the Predators aren't a team that's being outshot every night. So I do think in the context, he is looking for what you were saying. Like, is this a hit that has a purpose? Am I getting the puck back when I'm doing that? And it's interesting we bring that up, because NHL just did an audit. This is one of your things in your 32 thoughts. Jeremy Lauzon woke up today and had 29 more hits because he was already leading the league in hits.
Ah, that's interesting. Well, because you know what, that's interesting. The other thing too is, and I don't think that this is a small thing, and Derek from the football world, you can appreciate this too. Sometimes I think you need to hit to intimidate. So that line with the Islanders, Martin, Clutterbuck, and Cizikas, when the Islanders were good, that line, like, everybody used to joke that if you breathed on someone on Long Island, that was a hit. Like, they always used to claim that the Islanders inflated hits like crazy. But that line was a big part of their identity, because when they went out there, people were like, oh my God, I'm going to get knocked around this shift. So I do think intimidation is a factor. But I didn't realize that with Lauzon. That's pretty funny, actually. But, and I'll tell you this, for a player like Lauzon too, that matters. So I did write about that. The NHL announced yesterday that they had done a statistical audit, and basically what it was about was they changed the amount of hits. And I was under the impression that some agents were complaining, and I heard that they were, but I think the NHL after I wrote it, someone told me the NHL might have looked at it too, because they were down about 9 hits a game from the last few years. Like, the hits totals were really off. So they looked at it and they changed it. But like, a player like Jeremy Lauzon is exactly who I was thinking of. Maybe not him specifically, but what he does. Because like, if you're doing, if you're an agent and you're doing contract comparables, whether in a negotiation or salary arbitration or something like that, Lauzon is the kind of guy who, like, the more he hits someone, the more valuable he's going to be, right? Because that's exactly his role. So I am not surprised to hear that, because I think players like him, those agents would be saying, something's off here, because the numbers don't appear to be right. That's fascinating that Luzon got the big benefit, because that's exactly the kind of player I was thinking about.
He's got a pretty sizable lead right now in the overall category. It's pretty interesting. He's taken a big step forward. Elliot, what did you take away from the Edmonton-Vegas game? One of the things that I thought about, number one, you guys in your podcast set this up. To have that game in Vegas the week of the Super Bowl was really cool, right? I'm sure there was probably some people that wouldn't otherwise have gone to a game that are now saying, hey, man, I'm gonna watch a game in Vegas. And hey, here's a team trying to set a record. Pretty cool thing to have going on. But Vegas wins, and I'm thinking, imagine this is you're Edmonton. You're bound and determined to win a cup with two of the greatest players of their era. McDavid might be the greatest player ever when it's all said and done. But you got to get past Vegas in the first round.
Yep.
That might be what it is.
Yep. That might be. That's tough. Well, to be honest, I thought Edmonton was the better team that night. I thought that they were better than Vegas. But sometimes that happens. Like, you guys watch hockey as much as anything else. Sometimes you get what we call goalied. And I thought they got goalied. I thought Aiden Hill, who we just talked about a few minutes ago, was fantastic. He was the difference maker. And he was the reason that Vegas won that game. Edmonton was good enough to win that game. But the one thing is, you know, Vegas without Eichel, their number one center, you know, like, they really competed. Like, you could tell, like, as you saw McDavid at the end of the game, man, he was pissed off. He was really pissed off they lost that game. Edmonton really wanted to tie that record, and Vegas took it personally. They were like, we want to stop this. So it was a great game. It was great hockey. Aside from the result, if I was the Oilers, there wouldn't be too much I would be upset with from that game. But, you know, the thing that someone told me was that there was a lot of non-hockey media there. Like, in terms of credentials that got asked for, it was very, very high for a regular NHL game. And I'm with you, Willie. I think that's a great showcase.
You track this a lot. The Predators played Vancouver three times fairly early, got beat all three, and it was during the rise, and people were like, well, Vancouver, they'll come back to earth. They're not great. But here they are. They continue to pile up the points. And everybody, even the statistical nuts, the analytics, are saying they're going to come back down to earth. But they just keep going on the roll. How much have they convinced you that they are for real? Because they might be the reason that Edmonton and Vegas have to play in the first round.
Well, they've convinced me for sure. But I think the other key thing is they've convinced themselves. You don't make these kinds of moves that they're making without really believing that you can win. And, you know, I think they're good enough now. I do. I really like the Elias Lindholm from Calgary, the acquisition. Lindholm's a talented guy. I think he was getting crushed by the weight of the situation on him. And still, he doesn't have a contract, but now he's in more of a winning situation. I think that'll really help him. I don't necessarily think they're done. I think they've got a lot. I think they would like to add a bit more depth. I don't know if they're going to add an A-level guy anymore, but I think they'd like to add some depth. I think they're really good, but, like, you know, the one thing I do think is that Pacific division is going to be a nightmare. And to be honest, the top of your division is a nightmare too, between those three teams, Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg.
The first round series, my goodness, the two versus three.
You don't want that. But in the Pacific, as you said, if it's Edmonton, Vegas, those are two teams that could win the Stanley Cup. But I think that's the thing. Like, this league now, you got to get into the playoffs. It's not easy. Half the league misses. But when you get in, you got a shot. I really do believe that. And this year, I think, is going to prove that again.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate your time and your insight, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Speak next week.
Expecting a full Super Bowl breakdown as well next week, Elliot.
You got it.
Make sure to do your homework. Thank you. I appreciate that. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. Appreciate him for stopping by. All right, coming up next, Will Levis is in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. I saw that he won a ping pong tournament against Trevor Lawrence yesterday. Big AFC South showdown yesterday. But Jared Stillman caught up with Will Levis yesterday. So that entire interview in its entirety will be played right at 2 p.m. on Stillman & Company right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. But Jared was nice enough to share at least a tidbit of his sit-down with Will Levis. So we will get into that coming up next. We'll react to what Will Levis had to say. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Also, tune into the Chase and Big Joe show tomorrow morning between 9 and 11 a.m. for details on how you could win a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and Journey with Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. So Titans quarterback Will Levis is in Las Vegas at Radio Row for the Super Bowl. He caught up with Jared yesterday. So Jared will play the entirety of their sit down at the top of their shows at the top of the hour, 2 p.m. You'll hear the full Jared and Will Levis interview. But there was one tidbit from the interview that Jared said, I want to get D-Mace's thoughts on this. I want to get his reaction to this. You'll hear the full interview at 2 o'clock. Here's a snippet of what Will Levis had to say when he sat down with Jared yesterday.
What's the plan in terms of making sure that instead of training for a draft or anything like that, that you are really focused on getting better for the start of next season?
Yeah, I'm definitely like that. You know, I'm a workaholic. You know, I'm gonna work myself into the ground, but right now, you know, I'm not, and I'm you know, enjoying myself for the first time in a really long time, which has been incredible, and you know, letting my body get back, and you know, and here in a week's time or so, we'll hit the ground running again with training. But at the, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to enjoy the fruits of my labor a little bit, you know, these past few weeks. But you know, as we figure out what the roster looks like, who there's going to be, I'm going to do whatever I can to get with as many guys as I need to, wherever they may be. I'll be, for the most part, in Nashville, so, you know, getting to learn from the new staff and all that. But, yeah, I mean, do whatever I can as a leader to, you know, get everyone else ready.
All right, again, that was Will Levis at the Super Bowl with Jared, Radio Row, rather, with Jared. You'll hear the full interview right at 2 p.m. Now, you know, hearing that from Will Levis, you know, obviously going into year two, it's different. We've heard this from several different players at different position groups, that year two is so different because you have the offseason to train for the season. That when you're going into your rookie season, when you're going into the draft, you're training for the combine, you're getting coached up on interviews. There's so many other things going on that now you can slow down, focus on the training, focus on building rapport with your receivers and with your offensive line. D-Mace, just from your experience, what did those off seasons look like for you as a receiver, continuing to build rapport with the quarterback?
It was a little bit different because you got to understand the collective bargaining was a lot different. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, we had to be there more or less a lot. So we got a lot of time with Steve or with Neil or with Billy Volek. So we didn't have to, you know, travel to a specific place for all of us to get together because we were, for the most part, like, if you made it to the playoffs, say you got deep in the playoffs, which a lot of times we did my years here in Nashville, so you would figure you would take, at least me, take 2 weeks off, let your body heal, and then you get back into it from a physical standpoint. But that's a receiver talking. The quarterback, it's different. And he will learn this. There's nothing necessarily wrong with his answer. But as we all know, perception is reality.
Yeah.
What did Rand Carthon say? He said, I like people that love playing football, that love. He said, Tajay Spears was down at the Senior Bowl.
That caught my attention.
Yeah, he was down at the Senior Bowl. Why? He said, because he wanted to see some guys that he played with, you know, go through practice. He said, that's a guy that on his off time, he's there. He loves football. That's what I want, a guy that loves football. I'm not saying Will Levis doesn't love football. That's not what I'm insinuating here. But perception is reality. Optics are big. You are the starting quarterback for a National Football League team. You are one of 32 starting quarterbacks. Mentally, you're always in the game. You're always studying. That's what makes those guys so great, the Bradys, the Brees, the Mannings. If they aren't taking a day off, they ain't telling you. They're not letting you know if I take
no
a week or two.
You go and
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I do. That's what I said. There's nothing necessarily wrong with his answer. But when you are the quarterback of a billion-dollar franchise, there's no days off for you. There's not. There's no perceived days off for you. Even though you will have days off, you will take a week off here and there. But there's none from a perception reality. Fans out there looking, they don't want their quarterback to have a day off. They want their quarterback to continue to study the game. Don't wait until the staff is put together or who we're going to draft. That means nothing because the offense is there. I'm sure you, Brian Callahan, I already said he had a conversation with you. So essentially, you know where this offense is going. Now, if y'all don't have a playbook, I get that part. But I'm sure Brian has given you a little bit of what he's thinking as far as play calling. Matter of fact, just go back and watch some tape of Cincinnati. You know, just watch their offense because their offense is pretty much going to be your offense in a sense. So go back and watch that. Again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with Will answer. I don't want to get a perception that that was a bad answer. But optics is, as a quarterback of a National Football League team, you're the starters. There's no perceived days off. I don't want to hear you talking about, oh, I'm going to take 2 or 3 weeks off or I'm going to do this and I'm going to wait for the guy. No. There's film room. You need to be in that film room. Yeah, you can go to the Super Bowl. You can do all the little promotional things. But the perception is you need to be in that playbook.
And do you feel like the perception that he gave off there was that he's not?
There could be a perceived notion that, you know, that do you love football like Rand said? I'm not saying he doesn't or he does. I'm just throwing, do you love football? Do you sleep football? Do you eat football? Because I tell you one guy that loved football, Tom Brady. I'm not saying you're Tom Brady, but look at all the great quarterbacks. They gave off this perception of, whether it was true or not, that they always had their head in the book. They were all, everything they were doing, it was calculated. You know, everything they did was to make them better as a player. I'm sure Tom went on 2-week vacations. But with Tom, even while on vacation, he was still working mentally or even physically on his craft. This game is a 365-year-a-day job. No longer can you – this is not the old-school NFL. It's not. The money is too great. You need to be working your ass off to make sure that you're in a perfect position to lead your team. I'm not saying Will's not doing that. But as a young guy, that second season – is the most critical season of your career because it helps because you did, like you said, you did all of that combine stuff the first year. You really didn't get a chance to work out the way you want to. Now you do. So now take your week off. Nobody got to know. Take your week off. But mentally, you're never taking a day off because you are the quarterback of the National Football League team. Everybody else may be able to take a day off. But you as a quarterback, it comes with the territory. You know, so again, it wasn't a bad answer. I'm not saying that Will's not doing the things that he needs to do because I'm sure he probably more than likely is. But when you give a perceived answer like that, everybody's left up to their interpretations. Maybe Rand's looking at it. Maybe Rand looked at it or Brinker looked at it and heard it and said, huh? Shouldn't you be in the playbook?
I think, too, it's an example of just when you are the quarterback, mm-hmm. everything you exactly. say is under the microscope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything you do is under the microscope.
The
so,
Brian Tannehill Celsius ad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Remember that one? Yeah. And the whole, just the one little comment about Malik Willis, how mm-hmm. that was blown up, especially in the offseason, right? But this is what this is the world that Will Levis is going to be living in. And part of knowing how to deal with being under the microscope is also thinking pretty long and hard about what you're going to say to the different questions you get. So,
especially when you don't get a lot of opportunities to speak to the media, at least at this point in the season. And what you put out there is how you are going to be perceived, to your point, D-Maze. What you put out there, you have to be incredibly calculated in what you say. And what you say and what you do might be two different things. But if the message that you're portraying is X, Y, and Z, but what you're doing is something completely different that's either a positive or a negative thing. Like, you might be saying, look, it was just so nice to be able to just relax and have mm-hmm. some time off. I don't have anything against that. Yeah. Like, you should do that, but it might be perceived as this guy doesn't care.
Right. It's just an example. It doesn't mean that he's doing anything wrong.
Exactly.
Like you said, D-Mace, I do think we all know how important he is to the success mm-hmm. of this franchise going forward. He is such a key guy. So this is such a big offseason mm-hmm. for him. Such a big offseason for him.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. We've got a thought on this. Adam in Portland is on the line. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Hey, real quick. So, number one, I don't care what this dude does when he's not on the football field. I think he's stud. Whatever he has to do. Look at Aaron Rodgers. A little weirdo, right? He's always out doing weird stuff. Kyler Murray loves Nintendo.
How good has Kyler Murray been playing recently?
Exactly.
Arizona cannot wait to replace him.
See, now that's a good, an interesting one to bring up.
That may be the example, right? Like, because people don't need to know that he loves Nintendo. But I don't really care what these dudes do, man, as long as he keeps between the field. And I can tell Will Evans has probably got a ton of personality just by looking at some of the things that people were talking about coming out, all the weird stuff about him. And that's cool and everything, but I just care about what he does on Sunday, man. Hopefully the fans get behind it the same way.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Adam.
But
appreciate it.
See, here's the thing, what Adam, because he's right in a sense. I get that. But on the other note, I do care about what my quarterback is doing. I do. Why? Because he's leading a team of 52 men, 52 other men. The billion-dollar franchise is on his back. So I do care what you're doing when you're not playing football. So the notion of, I don't care what you're doing outside, as long as you play on Sunday, there's a direct correlation between what you do and how you play.
And
there's a direct correlation in that.
Also, you might not care what Aaron Rodgers was doing because Aaron Rodgers is, what, 2-3-time MVP and won a Super Bowl? Well, Levis hadn't done any of that.
No. But we didn't really know what Aaron Rodgers was truly doing because, he went to the, how do you pronounce it? Ayahuasca, which I do want to travel down that road.
Okay.
I do. I'm not going to lie about that.
We'll unpack
talked about
that.
It.
Yes. We'll get into that.
But even with that, I think Aaron Rodgers was doing it for more clarity in what his career was. How do he make himself better for everyone else in regards to football? I think it's all – he didn't just do that just to say, I want to do it to see how it is. No, I want to do it to become a better human, become a better player. So everything – that's what I said. These guys, these great guys, quarterbacks at least, they're calculated at everything that they do. Brady, he's calculated. Manning, calculated. Breeze, all these guys, just watch them throughout the whole year. Half the time, you didn't know what Tom Brady was doing unless he allowed you to know. And what was it? Working.
Working or not eating strawberries.
Exactly. But it all was geared toward what? His play on football. So, Adam, what you do off the field, I do care about. I knew what Adam was referring to. But when it comes to my quarterback, well, really all of them, but really my quarterback, I do care what you're doing off the field because it does – a lot of times it is a direct correlation to how you play on the field.
Especially an unproven quarterback.
Exactly.
And especially a quarterback that hadn't won enough games yet.
Yeah.
This isn't a good enough team.
Exactly.
Everything that they're going to do is going to be put under a microscope because you're losing. That's what happens when you're not a good football team.
And again, everybody, because I know how this world is, they will take a snippet of what I said and they will say, Mason said Will Levis isn't doing anything, and no, that's not what I said. Hear me out. Please hear me. I said there's nothing wrong with his answer. I don't have a problem with this answer because I know young guys, you need time off.
Yeah.
But from a quarterback's perspective and position, there can't be perceived any days off. They can't. Why? Because the weight of a franchise is on your back. And when the weight of the franchise is on your back, people don't want to hear about you taking 2-3 weeks off, 4 weeks off, going on vacation. People don't want to hear that because why? You quarterbacking my team.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Look, and that is freaking exhausting.
Yes.
But that's life as a quarterback.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a big old game happening on Sunday. Our friend Ali Melnicki from Zen Sports will join us coming up next with the best bets from the Super Bowl. Caroline Willie D. Mace. 1025, 1063, The Game, and tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on LSU at home. Looking forward to that game. Pre-game at 7:45 p.m., tip-off at 8 p.m. with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, coming up at the top of the hour, Stillman and Company will be broadcasting live from Radio Row in Las Vegas, presented by the Nashville Sheriff. Also at the top of the hour, right at 2 p.m., Jared's conversation with Titans starting quarterback Will Levis. So that's coming up here in just a few minutes. But we've got a big old game on Sunday, and joining us now for the best bets of the Super Bowl, Allie Melnicki, our friend over at Zen Sports. Allie, I'll kick it off. The big question of the week, who you taking, Chiefs or Niners?
I'm going to take the Niners. I really like their defense. I really like what Christian McCaffrey has done with that team. But I think the X factor is Deebo Samuel. If he's 100% healthy, if they could run a ton of different schemes with him, I just think they'll have the upper hand on offense. I know Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league, but I'm going with Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy and the Niners to win.
I love it. What are maybe some other fun prop bets on the Zen Sportsbook app? Is it maybe, you know, the color of Gatorade or heads or tails with the opening coin flip? What are maybe some fun things that people can get in on?
Sure. We have a lot of great props. We're actually running a prop promotion, so I encourage everyone to check that out. Bet any five props, you'll get a no danger wager for Monday. A lot of props I like is that I'm always a big touchdown scorer. I like taking a lot of value, so I look at some of the guys like Noah Gray and Rasheed Rice getting some good value with any time touchdown scores. Justin Watson's someone I'm looking at. He's been quiet the last few playoff games, but at plus 600 to score a touchdown any time, I'm going to take him with him. I did good last year. I took Sky Moore plus 900 to score a touchdown, and he did. So I'm going to take one of the underdogs to get one.
We're talking with Allie Melnicki at Zen Sports. She's giving you some of these prop bets that Zen Sports have going for this week. Now, what is because even with your prop bets, Allie, there can be bets created for individuals if they don't see a prop bet that they like. Has there been any so far that you can mention?
Not yet, but we're still waiting for them to come in. But we're excited. We're really excited to offer. You know, this is our first Super Bowl while we're in the state of Tennessee, so we're excited to offer any kind of profit. You could make a profit out of anything. I mean, you can make a profit. Will Jason Kelsey be shown up to Taylor Swift? Not that we might be able to offer that, but we're excited to open up our customer base. And if they have a profit they like, it'll be on our app. We'll take a look into it and see if we can generate some more.
Allie Melnicki, Zen Sports. Allie, enjoy the game on Sunday and appreciate for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Allie Melnicki, our friend over at Zen Sports. Now, Will Levis with Jared Stillman right at the top of the hour. What do we want to hear from Levis?
I guess we heard a little bit of it. And I just want to know how this season has been for him, this past season has been for him, and what is he looking forward to, you know, once he gets back to Nashville. That's what I want to hear.
I wonder if he thinks the anticipation of learning the new offense will be how big of a challenge mentally that would be.
Yeah, I think that
is that a big thing, or because he's been in the league for a year now. He's done it before. He's had to change offenses before. He's got a new one here.
Third offense, a fourth offense, and as many years?
Because hopefully that will go as seamlessly as possible.
Mm-hmm. It would be four, but depending on, because Liam Cohen ran that Sean McVay offense, so he'll see some similarities there, but it's still coming with a different offensive coordinator. And I did hear Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rex this morning. He said it took Kirk Cousins at least about 2 years to really master the Shanahan offense. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a challenge for Will Levis. But I'm excited to hear what he had to say with Jared again. That's coming up right at 2 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.